This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm about to make the biggest decision of my life. I'm looking at buying my own house. The trouble is the property I like is leasehold, and I have always been advised against buying leasehold as opposed to freehold. So right now, leasehold is what I can afford, and the location is suitable for me. The house has another 50 years or so left. I like to know what I'm getting into, my risk, what challenges will I face, trying to get a loan, and the kind of loan rates I can get for a property like this.
Mm-hmm. Leasehold and freehold property, what are the differences?
Actually, at the end of the day, it's a question of tenure, right? I mean, you put it very simple. If it's everyone will tell you that if you can buy freehold property. So freehold property is where you can buy, can own it for as long as you can, and you can pass it on with no limitation in that sense. So you can pass it on to the next generation. And normally, I said your tenure ends when you start to sell it or when you pass it on.
All right.
But if you talk about leasehold property, at the end of the day, is because we think that there's future use for the land, so the maximum we can give you a tenure only. For residential, it's very common in Malaysia, we say 99 years,
right?
In that sense. But even when you buy, you're already probably halfway through or whatever that is. So there's a limitation. So at the end of the tenure, let's say at the end of the 99 years tenure, all you need to do is to yield that land back to the authority. Basically, the authority own the land after 99 years because it's only a long-term lease. It's like renting the land to you for 99 years. One thing I'd like to advise our listeners, I mean, we are very fortunate in Malaysia because of this concept of freehold. There are many countries, especially in this region, there's not much of this concept called freehold. It's only found in a very limited jurisdiction in Malaysia or even Singapore to that extent, but other than that, very hard because most of them are actually leasehold simply because the authority need to retain the ownership of the land, especially for future development. It's very common for a developing country to look at freehold as a good way, to look at leasehold as a good way to prepare themselves for future needs. Yeah.
How do they decide which goes freehold and which is leasehold?
It's all about planning. It's also got to do with history and all these things. It's also got to do with the system of government they adopt. Normally a socialist government, because for example in Vietnam or in China and all these things, there's no such thing as freehold simply because, hey, everything is owned by the government, the people. Or even a kingdom like Thailand, and for that matter, is like, you know, again, everything belongs to the king, you know, in that sense, for that kind of perception. So when they set the land registration system, because we adopted from the Commonwealth system, and there was actually the concept of freehold, when the government look at the planning and whatnot, they can decide if really we have no use for this land and prepare not to disturb this forever. So we then grant a freehold tenure for that. So most of the time, it got to do with planning. Right. Why is it leasehold? Why is it very hard to get free home today? Is because everyone think that, you know, after a while we need to replan, rezone the whole town planning. Otherwise, the whole town is getting old and old. This is the struggle of the developed country, because you see a lot of developed economy very hard to do new building. Very hard to do development, very hard to widen the road and all these things, especially, let's say, those really, really old city,
right?
Yeah, where they used to build roads for horses.
True.
Yes. And today you have to build road for cars, which is different requirement. So learning from those, leasehold would be a better way for the town planner.
So leasehold properties in Malaysia, like you said, they are typically 99 years.
Yes.
So if you buy something, it's unlikely you'll get the full 99 years. What happens after that lease ends?
What happens is that you can actually apply for extension of the lease if you want to. Typically, number one, the fixed answer, the lease end means that the land no longer owned by you, no longer leased to you. You have no right over that piece of land.
The government is, the authorities are, it's okay for them to take it back from you at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
With no compensation.
Yes, with no compensation whatsoever. Because effectively, it means the lease ended.
Right.
You know, per se. So which means that the ownership of that property is now back to the state. We have to understand one thing about land law in Malaysia in terms of constitution-wise. So just to see where is the safety net, or if everything go, where is the end game for that. So you have to understand the federal government does not own the land, but the state government who actually own the land. So at the expiry of the lease, then you go back to the relevant state authority.
Unless it's the federal territory, I suppose.
Even federal territory means the federal territory then determine the land.
Right.
Yeah. So which means that it is the local level that own the land.
As a general rule of thumb then, yeah. does it mean that the closer the leasehold property gets to its expiry, then the cheaper it becomes?
Yes, you can say that. Because that got to do with the way you finance the property. Like I said, if you buy a property with a useful life of 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, and then it's lease, it's end of that lease, how likely that you're going to pay the full price for it? Unlikely, right? In that sense, so I'm saying to you is that if you start that 99 years, probably you pay 10% of the price to utilize the last 10 years. But it got to do with your intention. It got to be usage. There's no right or wrong there. Challenges is in financing, I must say, because typically if your leasehold property is too short, it's a deemed risky. And even if I lend it to you for that period of time, you know, the tenure for repayment of loan cannot be longer than the lease term, the balance lease term. So as a result of that, you probably have to pay more in terms of your monthly installment.
What's considered risky in terms of the tenure that's left behind?
Okay. Just now you mentioned about 99 years. Typically, we talk about residential is 99 years. For other type of property, you could have a 30, 50, 70. Doesn't matter, industry, agriculture, and all these things. Because it's for commercial usage, you don't really have to use it permanently. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's residential, then at the end of the day, I mean, I think if a good rule of thumb, if the balance is about 60 years, then the bank will start to think whether they want to grant you the loan on a case-to-case basis. Is not so easy.
Now, given that a lot of property nowadays, they are leasehold, what should a potential buyer be aware of? What sort of risks should they look out for?
Number one is that you have to know about the remaining lease period for sure. How much longer to go? Like I said, if it's anything less than 60, think twice or go to the bank first, ask would you finance before you get you go into that. And number two is, of course, the formula adopted by the state authority in calculating what are the premium payable if you want to extend the lease. By the way, you can ask to extend the lease, okay, and you have to pay a premium. Most of the time, got to do with your market value and whatnot, and then for how long, and the premium will be required to be paid. And of course, the other consideration is a margin of financing also. While it's difficult to get bank, and even if they come in, they might not give you 90% loan, they might give you something lower, because it got to do with the risk factor. Of course, comparatively, a leasehold property is deemed riskier than a freehold property per se. Okay, in that sense, because of purely on the tenure basis. Okay, then the other thing is, probably because as a result of the lower margin, then you probably have to think about higher down payment.
Right.
Correct. And lower and the shorter tenure also mean higher installment. So these are things that you might want to consider. And also a longer completion period. This is something very unique. It's because most of the leasehold property, not all, are subject to what we call state authority consent. So in order to transfer the leasehold ownership, you must then get the state authority consent. Typically, we build in the 4 to 6 months to get that consent. So what we are trying to highlight to you is that if you are thinking, let's say we buy a sub-sale property in the secondary market already, maybe with a balanced leasehold period, in a typical situation, if it's a freehold property, we talk about what we call 3+1 to complete the transaction from the signing of agreement until the, so it's about 4 months, correct? In this situation, your 3+1 don't start until you get the consent. Okay. Until a consent. So typically, if we go to the max, it's probably a 10-month effort, a 6-month to get the consent, a 4-month to complete the transaction. So if you are the seller of such a property, be ready to prepare that you won't get your money 10 months later. And right. if you are a buyer of such property, be ready that you can't enjoy the property or move into the property until 10 months later. So that's one of those things. And then another thing is, of course, the difficulty in selling. You buy is easy. Buy is already subject to consent. Because when you sell, then necessarily means that it will be, again, shorter tenure
Correct.
Than the one that you acquire. Correct? So the question is that, would it remain attractive? Which, can you find a buyer if no bank is willing to fund it? Because not everyone can come in and buy cash, right?
In terms of legal documentation, yeah. are there any differences when it comes to purchasing a leasehold property or even obtaining loans?
There's no differences in terms of the legal document, but the completion period and the condition will be different. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you still do a charge over the land for the purpose of getting a financing, correct? But in terms of the terms of the charge would be different slightly, but otherwise the instruments used are the same. Like terms and conditions, for example, you need state authority consent. Then you have to build in a period of time for state authority consent. Not just state authority consent to transfer, it could be state authority consent to charge as well.
We are speaking with Chris Tan from Chur Associates on The Property Show. In a little while, we'll find out what the process is like to get your leasehold property's life extended. BFM 89.9. We're back on BFM 89.9's The Property Show, where our listener, Daniel, has concerns about his leasehold property, and Chris Tan from Chur Associates is providing his input.
For leasehold property, what can I do to extend or renew the lease? How long will I have to wait before I begin the process? And also, I was told that with leasehold properties, there is a bigger risk. The authorities or government can take it over for other development purposes compared to the freehold ones. So is this a fact or myth?
Chris, extending the lease on a leasehold property, what is the process like?
Like I said, I mean, in the previous segment, you have to understand constitutionally, it is the state authority or the state government that actually regulate the land matter. Therefore, extension of the tenure of the land is a state matter. It's not a federal matter unless it's a federal territory. In that sense, but still, it is a state-level matter. So they have absolute discretion. There's no expectation to say that if I fulfill ABC requirement, I'll definitely get my extension.
Well, it sounds very arbitrary.
Yes, because you bought already, I'm telling you, you only have 99 years, right?
Right.
There's no expectation that you buy with a 99 years option to extend 30 years and whatnot. You buy on a conscious decision knowing that it was 99 years. So to me, there's no expectation created, so there's no arbitrary. I already told you it's actually for 99 years. Correct. So you're taking a risk there. But like I said, I mean, in a normal event, I always tell people, I said, if you buy a leasehold property, please do not expect the lease could be extended because you bought it knowing that it's 99 years. But there is a process for you to apply for extension. That definitely. But there's no guarantee. There's no true guideline as to how it would use and whatnot. It's arbitrary because really you need some flexibility at the end of the day in planning the progress of the national development of certain area. Correct. So what I'm highlighting is that the process and even the cost is different to each state. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep saying that it's different state authority. I don't know where this property is, but at the end of the day, different state is different. So you might refer to the relevant land offices to find out the policy of the state in terms of extending the leasehold.
Typically, how long does a process of extension take? So if I were to buy a leasehold property that has, say, maybe 30 years left on it, should I start the process of seeking an extension right away as soon as I buy it, or when?
I think typically what happened is that every state would have their own policy as to the preferred date for you to submit. Okay, some do 10, 30 years, some do 10 years even. You know why? Because I would predict that it would be closer to the expiry rather than closer from the aggregate or acquisition and with much more longer period ahead. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, a lot of consideration is from planning consideration. How will I know what I want to do with your property if it's another 70 years ahead? Mm-hmm. But I probably know if it's another 20 years ahead or 30 years ahead left, you know, in the lease. So like I said, we have to check with the respective land offices to find out what are the policy, what are they, because sometimes they will just won't process it if it's too early. You can ask.
A lot of times for leasehold property, it's usually not just that one house. It's usually an entire housing estate.
Right.
Does, say, an entire housing estate going in to apply for a renewal of their lease in a group, does that actually help their chances?
Well, I won't say the housing estate one, but more or less, I would say, if you talk about strata development, that's even more relevant,
yeah.
You know. Of course, if it's individual consideration, they probably have to ignore you more. Likelihood is that, right? But
yeah.
If it's a collective effort and whatnot, then perhaps there could be serious consideration. Because at the end of the day, I can't be approving one to extend. The rest of the unit owner say, okay, you can take it back, you know. At the expiry of the thing, you cannot be one unit in the entire building per se, I'm saying in that sense. So normally it's a more conscious decision if it apply if extension is expected, correct, then it will be applied for the whole area or the whole building per se. So I don't think that we can be, you know, sectionized and said maybe you're the one, not the one closest to the boundary, right? But you say, oh, okay, I extend for you, the rest of them don't extend, perhaps it's harder. So of course collectively there will be a more consideration, but again, no definite guarantee And I would think that on the bigger scheme of thing, they will consider the whole thing as a whole.
Who would apply for something collective like that? Would it be the joint management body?
No, I think it's purely on the owner, on themselves. Because the joint management body or the MC in terms of the strata side, yes, they do have the right over the common property and the underlying master title. Normally, when you do that, yes, you can also do that. But but the separate strata title who have been issued would have to be then also required to pay the premium. In that sense.
I'm curious, so have there been situations where leasehold property become converted to freehold? Because it works the other way around. And, you know, if this happens, when does it happen?
Well, it can happen. Like I say, it's a matter of state discretion, right? Like I say, it's purely the state, that is the right of the state in that sense. They can absolutely decide what they want to do with the tenure, correct? And like I said, there is no guarantee. You cannot even predict, you know, you can lobby for it. See what happened. Like a lot of people, when they look at this, in fact, in most of my sharing, when I do talks in publics and even write articles, when this leasehold property and freehold property come to this mind, I always have a question. I said, you asked about the land, fine. Mm-hmm. Have you asked about the building? There's no such thing as freehold building. As in, like, there would be an expiry date of a building. Let's put it this way. And you are concerned about the tenure. For example, you stay in a strata building. I always say to them, I say, if let's say it's a unit, let's say you're level 18, correct, of a 30-story building. The building, let's say, by the way, the expected building lifetime by the normal building standard, I think it's about 60 years. So my question is that, fine, your land lease would have been 99 years, right, or freehold for that matter. But if the building cannot sustain, you need to rebuild, that's another consideration, right? So I'm saying to you is that getting the tenure of the land is one thing. Whether your building can outlast the tenure of the land, I don't know. That's another question. And Malaysia, let's put it this way, strata is a new phenomenon. And Malaysia is just celebrating their 60th birthday this month. Of course, we all know about that. Then my question to you is that, hey, what make you think that your building will outlast? Because we can't know. We don't know yet. We are now looking at 20, 30 years building. We already say it's old enough. Let's demolish it and see how we can do about it, right? Again, it's a consideration. It's a valid consideration, but not an absolute consideration.
You've just added a little bit of fear there. Now, there have also been situations where owning leasehold properties opens you up to higher risk of having the land taken away as opposed to, say, freehold. Is that true? I think you've sort of broached this subject earlier as well.
Sure. The answer is no. I don't agree. Okay. That it actually means that when you said to be taken away, means that you are looking at compulsory acquisition situation.
Yes.
Okay, let's say I need to build LRT, MRT, another highway, whatever, railroad. Then I need to probably compulsory acquire the thing for those things, right? Compulsory acquisition target both. It could be leasehold. It could be freehold.
It makes no difference.
Without compensation, of course, valuation, there would be different.
Right.
But otherwise, it's still subject to this type of vulnerability. But if you talk about a leasehold situation, like I said, I won't take that as if there's a risk. If someone take it back at the end or the expiry,
that's true,
of the lease. So I don't think that's a risk because you already know that's your time's up area, that's your expiry date. So that's it. You know, so I don't think that you should look at that as in because of that it's easier, right? Then I'm also saying to you is that, for example, if I'm the authority, let's say I really want to take back some leasehold property, correct? For the purpose of infrastructure building and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So think about it. If there's another 5 years to go, I'll probably say, wait. Until you expire, then I rightfully take it back. No argument. No need to talk about compensation. How much, right?
Right.
So that's the only possibility there, but it doesn't mean that it's easier. But you already know that at the expiry, it's not yours.
Now, finally, Chris, what are the advantages of owning leasehold property?
It's a tenure issue. Advantages of owning a leasehold property, probably then you'll be more concerned about how to extract the maximum value out of it. I think you are more tied up in that consent, you know, and you also can make your preparation better. If you think that you want to give this a succession plan to give you to the next generation and then generation next again, probably you have to prepare them otherwise, correct? I thought that's also a good benefit because you know that from day one, you know, you're not expected to be granted an extension per se. That's why, I mean, if you really, really keen to pass on from one generation, another generation to 10 generations down the road, then you better look out for a freehold property. Like I said, there are plenty of freehold property. Only problem with a lot of people is that perhaps these are older property. maybe not so convenient, maybe there's other issue in infra around there, not so new and modern, but it's still there. It's up to you, correct? Everyone have a choice.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.